we do our best. There are areas we could do a lot better to change the health services, to change some of the practices and behavioural choices that people take, which might have negative consequences in health. However, many of these things are underpinned by the life and the opportunities in life that Aboriginal people live. So to make meaningful change in the health and well-being of people really has to go much more upstream, looking at those areas of life, that of housing, of employment, of opportunity, of separation, that continue to perpetrate the pain and the trauma that exists within families, within communities and with our broader society. Change in the health status is really going to be tackled by a much more meaningful change at the social, wider social level.
What health issues have you found most prevalent in this region among Indigenous Australians?
One must say that the brokenness felt by many people in the communities underpins many other issues of their health. The mental health and well-being of people, which, as I say, drives back at a much wider level, tends to undermine a lot of the efforts they make. Having said that, a more pressing health at the closer end of the scales of the physical health concerns are issues of chronic disease, cardiovascular disease, respiratory disease. Diabetes is an enormous issue. We are well aware of issues of disadvantage right from birth, where Aboriginal children tend to be born smaller and often earlier than their non-Aboriginal counterparts, which may set them at disadvantage even in infancy. There are gaps or deficiencies in the services that we can provide to children, so that we're not quite reaching the children in some of the preventive programs that we would like to. We certainly need to do more with that. At the adolescent phase of life, we're aware also that some of the choices made by young men and young women have a negative impact on their lives as well.
Have there been improvements over recent years?
It's a patchy picture, really. There's certainly some improvements. The profile that we've brought together shows very, very impressive improvements in infant health, in infant wellbeing. Marked decreases in infant mortality, which is a great testimony to those who've worked in it. But there are many other areas that we're not seeing that gain. We're seeing an escalation at the chronic disease level, which is probably a consequence of life choices that haven't been addressed, programs that haven't really been well targeted in the past.
What are some of the areas you've identified that could be improved?
If I was to pick one area where we could really make a difference, I'd be focusing on the adolescent age group. Diseases are much more complex. They're a result of a much more complex interplay of issues within a person's life. So I think it's probably better to look at the phase of that person's life and say, can we, in an integrated manner, make your life better, make improvements or create opportunities for improvement in your health? Then one asks, well, where should we pitch that? My experience at international level, and certainly international literature, is showing evidence. Perhaps early adolescence is that time, at the time where people, young people, are making life choices.
And then, of course, the question is, how do you do that?
Requires the community to take lead on this. The champions are within the community. It's fine for people like myself who work with the community to advocate on behalf of the community, but ultimately it's the community who will determine how they go forth and when they go forth.
Michael, was there any data that was particularly alarming to you?
I think there are many things we can be concerned about, many, many things we're concerned about, that we're not doing well enough in the whole area of Aboriginal health. But there are certain things jumped out. If I could pick up one example, that is in the area of injury. North Coast, Aboriginal injury rates are the highest in the state and quite possibly the highest in the country. I can't say certainly, but quite possibly the highest in the country. To put that down to actual numbers of people, within our Aboriginal youth, that's in the age group from 15 to 24, 2 to 3 of those youth will succumb each year as a result of injury. It's quite a stunning figure. Of those young men and women that we see and that we thrive with and enjoy their company, well, to lose 2 or 3 of them in any one year, I think, is quite a shocking and disturbing figure.
Was there information about how those injuries were sustained?
Road mortality is much behind that. So there is some interpersonal violence, but certainly mortality as a result of road accidents is the big issue.
One of the other things that's come out of the report is the recognition that you need to hear the community better. How can you go about doing that, hearing what the community wants in terms of improving their own health and wellbeing?
When we were putting this report together, we brought together representatives of communities from across the North Coast footprint. There was a little bit of concern about the whole area. Another report, what we really need, though, is action on the ground. If we can push through that, We shared stories from the report, brought some of the data to life in human stories. And that touched those community representatives. And they said, we don't need to be hearing these stories. We need to take these out to our people in our communities so they can hear the stories, hear the realities of their lives there. So I think that's an important approach, is to share the stories in the community and allow us to mobilise the community with the passion that they have. Secondly, at a clinician level, if I may, we're putting my doctor hat on for a moment. I hear and engage at an intimate level with people every day. I hear their hopes. I feel their regrets about their life. I hear their wants and passions. And I know very generally they want to move forward in a positive way from where they are at the moment. And the more we can touch in on that vein, the more we can harness their energies and their passions, I think that's where the community will strengthen.
Patsy Nagus knows all too well about the effect of health problems in her community. A Bundjalung elder, she's lived in Kyogle for 36 years, and the last few of them she spent campaigning for dialysis chairs in smaller rural hospitals. She says health professionals need to work with Aboriginal leaders to inform the community.
Firstly, there has to be a broad range of cross-cultural awareness. To mend those gaps, cross-cultural awareness of language, how we speak, take away the jawbreakers, have the respect. You cannot send a non-Aboriginal person out to visit an elderly Aboriginal person and expect a message to get through. I go out to the Aboriginal reserves and I will sit there with drinking out of a jam tin, drinking a cup of tea with the old fellas under the tree. There'll be more understanding of what I'm saying than a non-Aboriginal person coming with a piece of paper, because I'll explain it to my uncles and my aunties or the young people, and they will hear what I'm saying.